This is URN.
This is Fatherson, and you're listening to URN.
You've tuned into University Radio Nottingham, and I'm joined here by Fatherson ahead of their gig at the Bodega here in Nottingham. So, hi guys.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm alright, thanks. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm very good.
How are you feeling about tonight's gig?
Really excited. I always love playing in Nottingham, so it's we were here for Dot to Dot just a couple of months ago.
Really?
So it's nice to be back for a wee headline show.
How many times have you played Nottingham now?
Oh, 4, 5, 6, something like that.
Quite a lot of times, actually.
It's always good fun.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. I know you must be really busy preparing for tonight. I know that you've already played about 8 cities now, and you're nearing the end of your tour.
Yep.
And you've done about 6 of those consecutively, was that?
Exactly.
Yeah, this is number 6, so the tiredness is setting in, if I'm honest.
Yes. are you
sad that it's coming to an end?
Yeah.
It'll be the end until the next one starts. Like
on
Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, we get a couple of days. We get to go home, back to Glasgow, and then go to Ireland, and Northern Ireland. It should be fun.
Yep. Which has been your favourite city to play so far?
Nottingham.
Yeah, the sound check.
That's the correct answer.
Just not sound check. Blew everything else out of the water, man. 100%.
No, they've all been really good. All been really fun.
So you supported a lot of amazing artists on tour in the past, including the likes of Biffy Clyro, Frightened Rabbit and Twin Atlantic. How does this tour feel different to the others that you've done?
It's our own headline. People are all coming and seeing us and singing along to all of our songs, which is very nice.
Yeah, there's a weird pressure of your own headline stuff where, like, when you go out and you support another band and there's some amazing bands that we've played with, but you kind of get hyped up on their crowd because you've got everything to gain. Whereas when you do your own stuff, you got everything to lose.
Yeah.
But it's a totally different kind of like energy in the room because there's a sort of expectation that you want to live up to. But yeah, they're very, very different and both very rewarding ways.
Some of All Your Parts is your third album, which means you've passed the tricky second album milestone now. How was working on this album different to your previous work?
It was... we kind of approached it in a slightly different way. We just got a studio up in Glasgow and kind of were in 5-6 days a week writing and kind of playing music together, and then because we were just in the room in our own little studio, it ended up sounding a lot more kind of live and in the room, so kind of took that into the actual recording process of it, set up and kind of played the songs through and then just worked on overdubs and stuff from there, which kind of made it feel a bit more natural and
yeah,
a bit more organic sounding, I guess.
Yeah, 80% of that record was recorded in 3 days or something like that.
Yeah.
It was all just like we just bashed out kind of the same way that we'd written it, just in the room with a couple of beers.
Yeah.
It was good fun.
Now I'm going to ask you a really tricky question. It's going to be like choosing between your favourite child, but what's your favourite track on the new album?
I'd never want 10 children.
I think at the shows there's a song called Ghost that I think is the best song at the shows, and then maybe to listen to there's a song called Reflection on it. To be honest,
yeah,
I think
of those two, that's kind of my favourites as well, I think.
Yeah.
I've always got a soft spot for Making Waves because I remember when we wrote it was like the first song that was definitely going to be on the record, and it's like, see, when you kind of when you write that song you go like, right, now we're off and away.
Yeah.
I'll always just really like that song for that kind of reason, because it was sort of the demonstrating block that the rest of the album was written from,
jumping off point kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's all good.
So you guys have been working together as a band for quite a long time now. Has the way you work together changed over time?
Yeah, it kind of, you're all...
There's more indifference towards each other now than ever, if I'm honest.
No, I think you're always trying to, especially for like writing music or pulling together, kind of creating albums and stuff like that, just want to change it up. We kind of try and loosely change it up every time we go in to do one. But the rest of the time, it's all...
There's lots of different hats and stuff that you wear when you do this sort of thing, so like being on the road and stuff like that is pretty consistent, like you play your part pretty consistent, and that doesn't really change, because if you turned up and you played all the songs badly, then no one would come and see you again. But in terms of like writing and making stuff, you just gotta have good ideas, and sometimes that comes in different guises. You can't really, there's no surefire way to come up with a great idea, so it's kind of like trying to, I don't know, herd cats. It's like, it's just a difficult thing to pinpoint how you do it the best, because it changes day to day. So yeah, it's been a great learning experience where we get to do lots of different things, lots of different cool places in order to try and make music. It's cool.
So when I was listening to the album, the track Oh Yes really stood out to me. Could you tell me a little bit about the spoken word section at the end of that track?
So that is a poet from Manchester called Isaiah Hall. And round about the time I wrote that song, I was doing a thing called the Beatnik Retreat, which was where a band took another band's songs and completely rearranged them in an evening where there was a bunch of like spoken word people. So they would be like, we did a song called Always and a song called Half the Things, and something that maybe ended up on some of all your parts. But they rearranged it and I basically came in and sang on it. And Isaiah was speaking and reading poetry to this thing. And there's a quote, so that poem's called Parisians, and there is a quote in it saying that he's a December of a man. And it just always, like, from that moment, I was like, that's amazing. And then when it came to putting that song together, we had an idea of a bit of spoken word to do. And I was like, right, well, I'm going to get in touch with Isaiah and see if I can get that poem from him. And yeah, it fits great. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it really does. So I saw your tweet about Father Sunday, asking your fans to add songs to your Lend Me Your Ears playlist. How important is interacting with your fans and discussing music with them to you?
We've had a sort of playlist with various different guises for a long time now, and it's a really, I've discovered some of my favourite bands from our fans giving us suggestions about things to listen to, and like, there's just so much music and stuff out there now that like, people that like, it's nice to just have a community with the people who like your music as well. So that's a, it's the one thing that connects us to our fans is music, so like, might as well take advice from them for things to listen to.
No, it's cool. I've been sitting listening to it, just popping it on shuffle and seeing what people like our band also listen to. It's cool.
So what's the best song you've discovered from a fan's recommendation?
There was a song called Agora by a band called Bare Hands.
Yeah.
That I discovered. I thought it was really cool.
There's a song called Bloodstream by a band called Stateless that got recommended for Father Sunday like 2 years ago or something like that, and I still like put it on every so often. It's a, yeah, it's a cool song.
It's a good song.
So to finish up, I want to ask them slightly different questions. So I know you guys recently did a pop-up pizza party when you were playing the Scottish Music Festival Tenement Trail.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to ask, what's your perfect pizza look like?
Cheese.
Yeah.
Tomato sauce. Basil.
That's it.
Perfect. Scar's Pizza in New York. It's a perfect slice of pizza.
Classic.
Man, like, ham and pineapple. I'm going to say it. It's
a good pizza.
It's a good pizza.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
one.
Thank you.
Cheese and tomato, you love it.
I do like a cheese and tomato, but ham and pineapple, man, I'm gonna block out the haters.
I've never seen you eat a ham and pineapple pizza.
Oh, that's amazing. A little Hawaiian.
It's a secret because you're bringing out the hate. You're bringing out the hate. I got persecuted from a long time.
When we were around at Ross's, you brought round a ham pizza and put your own pineapple on.
Yeah, I had to bring my own pineapple.
Yeah, you gotta start the foundations right. Gotta be good cheese and tomato, and then if you want to add stuff, that's
pepperoni.
The
that's fine.
Pepperoni's pretty good. We did
a white pizza.
Mm-hmm. So it was like a ricotta and smoked garlic and potato.
And parsley and caramelised onions.
Caramelized,
like really crispy thin slices of potato.
It was
good.
It was awesome.
So the band's called Father Son. Who in the band do you think would make the best father?
No one's ever asked that.
Yeah.
Who would be the best?
I'm going to say, to be honest, Craig, I'm thinking probably you at the moment.
You think?
Dad. Yeah. Good.
I'd be like a sort of stern fatherly figure.
Ah, it's just the right amount of distance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Handshake on the birthday kind of thing.
Yeah.
Call me sir.
Let's start walking, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
And one last question for you guys. Do you have any advice for any sort of aspiring musicians in Nottingham?
Yes, we do. Ross.
Is that with you?
I don't know, what do people need to do now? They put out like a big hit first.
Yep.
Always put a massive hit first. Try and get tens of millions of plays on Spotify. Sign a big publishing deal. And then tour the world. I think that's my advice.
Yeah,
like, we wasted a lot of time just making music that we thought was cool. Definitely just write hits.
Well, Quella's changed since we started the band, which kind of makes me start feel slightly old, but
mm-hmm.
It's just totally different. Like, Spotify and everything wasn't really a thing when we started, so it was all just about, which I guess is still the same, is we always did big gigs in our hometown, but didn't do like 20 a year, did like 2 or 3 a year, made it a big thing, built them up. People start to see that, and then you get to travel further afield. So we were always like, win the battle in your back garden before you try and take on the world. Make sure you've got like a solid fan base that are there. And loads of bands are still kind of doing that, like a lot of Scottish bands, and they seem to jump up and get really big around Glasgow, and then people start to take notice elsewhere. So I think that's always a good jumping off point, and be sent, spend some time, make sure your music sounds right.
Yeah, be unapologetic in the music you want to make. Like, don't try and make music for what you think is going to be really big. Just make it for exactly, like, find what your own product is and just hit that as hard as you possibly can, because
people hopefully like it.
Exactly, because it's, you can hear honesty in music as soon as you put it on. Like, you can hear it straight away. So you should always strive to do that.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to me. I hope you all have a great gig.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This is URN.